Before we read this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 1, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do commit ourselves to you this morning in your word. We want to thank you that you are a God who still speaks today. We want to thank you for the way that you have spoken to us in the last 12 months as an assembly and given us your word with the intention of building us up, of instructing us, of teaching us more of yourself and your ways. And Lord, we look to you for more of that in the year ahead. Lord, we long to know more of you, we long to know more of your ways, and we want to walk with you faithfully. So help us this morning to hear what you have to say to us. Amen. Well, let's read from verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Then we set out. So just to paint the picture, Israel has arrived at the place where they are about to cross over into the promised land, and Moses is now addressing the people of Israel, really recounting what has taken place over the last 40 years. And I'm just going to pick this up sort of midstream. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up and take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us, and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up, and the cities which we shall enter. The thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man of each tribe. They turned and went up into the hill country, and came to the valley of Eshcol, and spied it out. Then they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands, and they brought it down to us, and they brought us back a report, and said, it is a good land, which the Lord our God is about to give us. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you grumbled in your tents, and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the men are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven, and besides, we saw the sons of the Anakim there. Excuse me. Then I said to you, do not be shocked, nor fear them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you, to encamp in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. Then the Lord heard the sound of your words, and he was angry and took an oath, saying, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully. Well, here we see the people of Israel on the verge of entering into the promised land. And Moses, led of God, felt it was important to remind Israel just what had gone on in the last 12 months, the last 40 years. I'm going to remind you of 12 months, not 40 years. But Moses realized it was vital that he did this, because already once they had failed to enter the land that God had for them. And isn't it marvelous? God tells them again here, this is a good land that God has for you. And do you know what? It hasn't changed, friends. There's a good land for us to enter into. And I hope you're living in that good land this morning. 2017 is a good place for us to go, if you're walking with the Lord. If you're not walking with the Lord, it's not going to be a good place. So I hope this morning, friends, we are all walking with the Lord. And if you're not, then get right with him. Because there's no better place to be in these turbulent times than to be with God. Because he is our rock, he is our anchor, and he's everything else we've been singing about this morning. So Moses was reminding the people of Israel of these things, and in a sense, we need to remind ourselves of some of these things as well. What has the Lord got in store for us in the year ahead? I don't know what he's got in store for you, or for me, or for us as an assembly. I know there are good things he has laid up for us. But the instruction was from God through Moses to lay a hold of it. Lay a hold of what God is preparing for you. This was the land that God had prepared for his people. It wasn't just some random place that God was bringing his people into, and in the hope, in the random hope that maybe there's some good things to find there. God isn't like that, friends. He has a good place for us to come into, but we have to lay a hold of it. It isn't just automatic for the believer, or that it were in one sense. But in another sense, it's good that it's not, because we won't appreciate it. We won't appreciate the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the wonder of who he is, his ability, his power, his majesty, unless we work with him to lay a hold of these things. So there's an encouragement to the people of Israel I want to pass on to you this morning, friends. There are things that are laid up for us in the year ahead as an assembly. There are things that are laid up for you and me individually, for our families. There are things laid up for our nation. Praise God what God is doing in the land. Just nationally, who would have thought 12 months ago, if I had stood here and said we'd had a Brexit vote and voted to come out of Europe, you'd have laughed me to scorn, I suspect. But God is amazing. God is at work. And we need to work with him. I don't know what God has laid up in store for 2017, but I do believe he has good things for us, even as a nation. Oh yes, there are testing times. There will be judgments as well, because we're still under judgment as a nation. But there are good things that God intends for us as a nation. Praise God for that. So, I want to look at this morning, really, the keys to laying hold of this land. What were the keys that Moses was trying to pass on to the people of Israel so that they wouldn't miss out again? He was desperate that these people would not miss out on what they'd missed out 40 years ago because they refused to go into the land. And God was determined to get them into the land. Oh, what a God we have, friends. God could have finished with Israel any number of times in that 40 years. But he was so committed to Israel that he was determined to get them into that land, despite the constant rebellions, despite the constant grumblings. And you know what? I'm so glad that God, our God, is the God of Israel, because he's the same with us. He perseveres with us. He endures us. When we fail, when we grumble and moan, he doesn't give up on us. And God was absolutely determined to get his people into the promised land, even if it took 40 years. And you know what, friends? He is just as determined to get us to the place that he has us as an assembly and individually and as a nation. God is determined. He wants to do that. But you see, we have to work with him. It isn't going to be automatic. We have to work with him. So let's have a look at some of these keys that Moses is really giving to the people of Israel. And the first thing I want to say is, we will never enter the things that God has for us. We will never lay a hold of them unless there's a willingness of heart, a desire for them. Look at the difference between Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 spies that went into the land. Those two wanted what God had for them. Friends, I hope you're sitting here this morning with a real desire to get a hold of what God has for you in the year ahead. If that desire has been dampened in some way, then we'll look at ways in dealing with that in a second. But allow the Lord to give you a desire, and an earnest desire at that, to lay a hold of everything he has for you. Don't be content with second best. Don't be content with just some of the things God has for you. Go for everything that God has for you, because that's what God's desire is. So first thing that needs to be in place is a desire for these things, a strong and willing desire to lay a hold of this land that God has for us. And now there are certain things that will dampen these things down, dampen that desire down, so that the desire in us is not what it should be. And it may be that you're in this place this morning. Well, friends, the good news is we can deal with that. We don't need to make a New Year's resolution, but we can just cast ourselves on the living God, repent of things we need to repent of, and move on with him. And the first thing that dampened down for Israel that desire was a constant looking back to Egypt, because life was difficult at times. Friends, let's don't do that. Let's don't think it's wonderful back there where we've left. That's a place of bondage. It's a place of terrible bondage. And we're not to allow that. Let's not do that like Israel did. And let that desire, that fervent desire for all that God has for us, be dampened down. The second thing is fear. The fear of man. The fear of consequences. The fear of failure. All these things can cause that desire to be dampened down. The fear of the cost of it. Because yes, there is a cost to laying a hold of all God has for us. God expects things of us. It will cost us in time and effort and other things as well, I'm sure. But the things that God gives us in return far outweigh any cost. If only Israel had laid hold of that. So friends, let's not fear anything. There's that song we sung. We don't need to fear anything. Make God your stronghold. Make him your anchor. The only thing you're to fear is God himself. So let's make sure that we do that. The third thing that can cause that desire to be dampened down is discouragement. And we all undergo that, don't we? If we're all honest, there's not one of us who can put our hands up here tonight, today, this morning even, this afternoon almost, and say that I haven't been discouraged in the last 12 months. I can't. There have been discouragements. But how are we going to deal with discouragements, friends? How do we deal with discouragement? Things don't quite go to plan, perhaps, or what we foresee as planned. Well, first of all, realize God hasn't lost the plot. He's not out of control. He hasn't lost control of things. And we need to get his perspective on things, of course. But let's look at how the psalmist dealt with that. Just read Psalm 42. Verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? So here was the psalmist who had discouragements, difficulties, things that were knocking him down. Then he says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him. You see how he changes the focus from what was discouraging him to God. And that is vital, friends. If we're going to deal with discouragement in the right way, we need to change our focus. Get them off our circumstances and get them onto God. And I have found, certainly over the years, that the best way to deal with discouragement is get before the Lord. Pour out your heart to him. Get into his word. Allow him to commune with you. And he will change things. This is the God we have. He doesn't want us to remain discouraged. And there's a way to deal with it. And the psalmist goes on. Verse 6. Well, let's finish reading verse 5. Hope in God. That could also mean wait on God or wait for God. And sometimes we do need to wait. And in the waiting, we can easily be discouraged when God perhaps has told us something and it hasn't happened as quickly as we wanted. Well, let's hold on to God. God is the God of his word. If he says something, he means it. He's not like you and me. He doesn't use words idly. He says things because he means it. Hold on to him, friends. Hold on to what he says. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Friends, his presence. Get into God's presence. Some of you prayed about that this morning, to dwell in the presence of God. It changes everything. It will change how you look at things. It will get rid of your discouragement. You will see things from a different perspective. We could read Psalm 43 as well. We'll just read the last verse of Psalm 43. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So again, the psalmist saying that God is the one to help him. God is the one that can get him through difficult times. God is the one that can bring him out of a place of discouragement. We have to get our focus right. So friends, let's ensure that we don't allow those desires to be dampened down by any one of those three things I've mentioned. And there's one further thing. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. And verse 29, this is again when the people were expressing their fear of going into the land 40 years previously, and they didn't go in. And Moses said to them, "Then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them." I want to pick up on that word, do not be shocked. Do not be shocked. Friends, don't be shocked in the year ahead if life can be a little bit turbulent and difficult. Don't be shocked, because God uses those times for our good. Don't be shocked if we face opposition, because this land was not going to be taken easily by Israel. There was a fight that was ahead. And we are called as believers to put up a fight. Not a physical fight, but a spiritual fight. Yes, there's that internal fight that we are involved in with our own hearts. But there's that fight outside that we fight with God in his battles. So unrealistic expectations. If we have unrealistic expectations, that will dampen down desires as well. Because if we are living in a sort of a woolly kind of thinking way, then that will lead to discouragements. We need to have God's expectations. Let's get his expectations. What is he expecting for us in the year ahead? Oh yes, I have great desires myself about what I'd love to see. But if they're not based upon God's word and his purposes, they're worthless. And they will lead to discouragements. Undoubtedly they will. Because when I'm expecting something to happen and it doesn't happen, there's only one thing for me, and that's to be totally discouraged. So let's have realistic expectations. And by that I mean, let's have God's expectations. Let's don't go into the promised land and think that life is going to be easy. 2017 may be a difficult year for us. Well, let's expect it. Moses was warning them, don't be shocked by this. Don't be shocked by these Anakim that you're going to meet, and these giants and all the rest that you're going to have to face and deal with. Friends, don't be shocked. There's an increasingly secular, anti-Christian a viewpoint in the land. And many are facing that increasingly. Don't be shocked if that hits and touches one or two of us in this assembly. Do we think we're immune from that? No. But God will use it if he allows it. God has not lost control, friends. And if God allows it, he allows it for our good, individually and corporately as well. God is doing something. So let's not have unrealistic expectations, friends. And, some of this around in Christian teaching, the health and wealth prosperity gospel, that says if we haven't got prosperity, if we haven't got health, then we're lacking in faith. Well, I don't know any greater way to be discouraged as a Christian than to believe that nonsense. Because if I'm not loaded with money and full of health, what am I going to do if I believe these things? So friends, let's have God's expectations. Let's see things as he sees them and have his expectations. Right, moving on, because we're running out of time. Well, there's a right kind of remembering as well. We don't look back to Egypt in a wrong kind of way, but there's a right kind of way that we can look back. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And and verse 24. Well, I love this verse. Moses is saying again to the people, still it's a long discourse, this from Moses. It's much longer than I'm going to give you this morning. Verse 24, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. Verse 24 of chapter 3, beg your pardon, chapter 3. Just testing that you're all awake, and obviously by that murmur, it was obviously you were. At least the pastors are. 3 verse 24, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. And hasn't God begun to do that in our life from the day that he rescued us and delivered us? But he's constantly wanting to show us this. I remember the Lord gave us a word many years ago. If you continue looking to him, we will see more of his greatness. And God wants to show us more of his greatness. He wants to be seen as great. He wants to show the strength of his arm. He wants to intervene in our lives, in the life of the assembly, in the life of the nation as well. And he's done that over the last 12 months miraculously. And we've begun to see something more of God's greatness and his strength in this land. Pray God we see more of it in the year ahead. But he is looking for those who will work with him, friends. That didn't happen just by chance. Just as Daniel had to plead with God for those, after that 70 years was up, God was looking for a man who would plead with him for something of the restoration. God is looking for a people today in this land who will work with him for his purposes. Who will get on their knees, on their own and corporately, to call on the Lord for something of his purposes. So that we can not only, having begun to see God's greatness and strength, we'll continue to see it. That's the desire of God's heart for us. And then he goes on, for what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? That was true for the people of Israel, friends. It's true for us in this assembly and for us as a nation. God has done something, as I said, in this last 12 months that no one would have thought possible even 12 months ago. And we give him all the praise and all the glory. So there's a right kind of remembering. We need to remember what God has done. The power and the ability of God is beyond our comprehension. But we need to believe it, friends. We need to recognize it. We need to remember it. That will keep us encouraged, won't it, in the year ahead. When we remember what God has done in our lives, what he's done in our land, and what he wants to do. What else are we called to remember? Well, back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. The Lord your, in verse 30 again, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf. We need to remember that God will fight on our behalf. There are battles ahead, but God never expects us to fight battles on our own. In fact, if we're fighting battles on our own, it's probably a wrong battle. It's probably not God's battle. And I'll give you an example. Well, you can go and read the rest of that chapter 1 to see a battle that the Israelites got involved in that was not of God. God was not fighting for them. It's the battle when they refused to go into the land 40 years previously. God has sent his word to them, how grieved and angry he was that they refused that. So they said, okay, we'll go. It was too late. God had changed his mind. But still they persisted. No, we're going to go. Friends, no amount of determination on your part or my part will do any good in the kingdom of God, in the battles God has for us. If it's not the battle that God is leading us into, you can be as determined as you like. You're going to lose. You're not going to get very far. And that's what happened to the people of Israel. They were beaten back. Oh, what a difference it makes when God fights with us. And for us, everything changes. The whole of Scripture shouts out when God fights with us and for us, what a difference it makes. David knew it, Moses knew it, all those saints of old knew it. And friends, if you're not reading your Old Testament as much as your New Testament, please go and read it. It's part of God's Word, it's Jesus' Bible. He didn't have the New Testament, you know. And if you're not reading your scriptures daily, you will not have a right understanding of these things. We need to be in the Word of God constantly to realize there are battles God has for us. And when he's in that battle with us, or rather when we're in it with him, everything changes. Everything changes. Friends, we need to remember that. In the year ahead, let's not forget that. It's vital, therefore, that our eyes are on him. And there's reading on. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you've come to this place. Oh, friends, I'm so glad we have a God this morning that carries us. When life is difficult, he knows how difficult life can be sometimes. How unfair we think it can be sometimes. He knows what we're going through. He knows when we need to be carried. And the wonderful thing is he will carry us. He wants to carry us. He wants to bring us into that place that he has for us. Yes, there are fights that we need to engage in. But there are times when he carries us as well. This is the God we serve, friends. This is the God we have. I am so delighted this morning that my God is the God of Israel, who carried his people for 40 years and never let them down once. This is the God we have, friends. So God will carry us when he needs to and when we need carrying. And let's read on. I've got another verse written down here somewhere. But for all this you did not trust the Lord your God. Isn't it tragic that for all the things God did, they still didn't trust God enough to go into the land? And we can be the same sometimes. All that God has done for us, all that he's doing in our lives, and we still won't commit ourselves fully to Christ. And there may be one or two of you here this morning that haven't done that. You have not committed yourself fully to Christ. You have not trusted him as he deserves. Friends, there's no one else you'll ever meet that deserves your trust but Christ. There's no one else that is worthy of trust but Jesus Christ. Because only he can save you. Only he died for you. Only he cares intensely about you more than anybody else, and loves you with a love that is impossible to measure. If you've not committed your life to him, friend, do it. Do it at the start of 2017. So that you can enjoy the year ahead with him. And not look back in 12 months' time and think, oh, why did I have to go through all that on my own? And let's move on. Verse 33. Who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. Let's remember, friends, as well, that God is a God who leads. God is not a God who follows. Sadly, in the church, we think that sometimes. And we think if we get involved in this latest scheme or this latest plan that we've got, this great idea, that God's going to follow us. God doesn't do any following, friends. God does the leading. And we are the ones to follow. Let's never forget that. He wants to lead us in our lives. He wants to lead you and I as an assembly. He wants to lead us as a nation. It's amazing God has purposes for a nation, as a nation still. After all we've put him through, God still has purposes. God wants to lead Israel as well still today. God is a God who leads, friends. He does not follow. He leads. Let's never forget that. And because he's a God who leads, we need to see him. We need to know what he's doing. It's amazing when you read just John's Gospel. I've been in there recently. How many times Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak what I hear the Father speaking. If that was good enough for the Lord Jesus Christ, it surely has to be good enough for us. We have to learn more and more to see where he's leading, to hear what he's saying, and then follow. And friends, if we do that, then we will be able to lay a hold of everything God has for us. Everything that God has for us, we'll be able to lay a hold of. Well, a couple more things, just a bit shorter, because time is running out. The next thing I would say is, if we are going to lay a hold of all that God has for us, we need to understand his character. We need to know what God is like. Otherwise, we'll do daft things, silly things. And if you read on in this passage, just turn to Deuteronomy 4. It is 4 this time, not 3. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We need to have a rounded view of who God is. There's such a skewed view in church of who God is. If you go back 100 years, they found it very difficult to believe that God was a God of compassion and love. Today, we've gone the opposite way. We think God is only love. We need to have a right perspective of God in the year ahead. A right understanding. And in Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, Moses reminds, first of all, that the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Wow, friends, we need to understand that in the church today in this land. Because we've moved so far away from this understanding. We won't even believe that God is a God who judges anymore. How tragic that is. We need to understand who God is in every facet of his character. But wonderfully, Moses moves on then in the same chapter, and then he says, I've lost it somewhere, about being a compassionate God. Anybody found that? Yes, verse 31. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, God is a God who is a consuming fire, a jealous God, but he's also a God of great compassion. There's no one with greater compassion than our God. There's no one with greater love than our God for his people. But we need to understand there's another side to God as well. The side that led to Jesus having to die on that cross for our sin. Because the judgment of God and the wrath of God was on mankind. And someone had to take that. And it was our Saviour that took it for us. Let's make sure in the year ahead, friends, we have a right understanding of who our God is. Let's don't get skewed in our balance, in our understanding or in our view of God. If we're skewed in our view of God, we won't be able to lay a hold of everything God has for us. Believe me. We'll get carried away into all kinds of silly things. And then finally, back to Deuteronomy 1. And we'll finish with this. If we are going to lay a hold of everything God has for us, then friends, we need to be like Caleb. And what does it say about him in verse 36? Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see that land. To him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully. That's what God wants from you and from me in the year ahead, friends. Can I encourage you to commit yourself fully to God? Because in doing that, I can guarantee you will lay a hold of everything he has for you. You will come into all the good land God has for you. And we as an assembly will come into the good things God has for us. But we need to be fully committed to God. Committing ourselves fully to him and all that he says in every part of his word. And if you go and read in Judges 1, I'm going to do that this morning if we have time, but we haven't, to see how God used Caleb. Even in his old age, even in his 80s, God was using him to take that land. There was no fear in that man. He feared God alone, and he lived for God in a committed way the whole of his life. Let's commit ourselves to God fully in the year ahead. Even if you've been committed in the year past, it's very easy to lose commitment, very easy to get discouraged and lose heart. Friends, commit yourself fully to God. Allow him to lead you and fight with him in those battles that he has for you and for us as an assembly. And if we do that, then pray God would come into everything that he has for us. And it is a good land that he has for us. Praise him. Let's pray.